We learned a while ago about the tanaim. So we learned that there were two things. We learned that there were two documents that were signed at the wedding. First one was the tanaim, and if you recall, the tanaim we learned meant what? The tanaim that you sign at the wedding means
nothing.
Right? It's totally meaningless, but we do it anyway. Why?
Tradition.
Right. Photo op. It's a good photo op. Right. I was surprised. Yesterday, I went to a good friend's wedding in New York. We were at the wedding, and we were talking, and they took its pictures before the wedding, which is totally permissible. Right? They took the pictures before. And so I said, really? You did that? He said, yeah. If he could, he even would have told his kala not to walk around him seven times. But she insisted. Yeah, that's another minhag that he wanted to get rid of. So I was very surprised when he did the tanaim. And when I went to mock him, he said, what can I do? My mother wanted to do it. You know, which is exactly the point. Your mother's wanted the photo op. You're not going to take away my breaking the plate. Right. So today we're going to talk about ketubah. Ketubah is exactly diametrically opposite of tanaim. Ketubah is we're going to see, not only midirabbanan, rabbinically oriented, but we're going to see it's a Torah orientation. It comes midirabbanan even. And has tremendous significance, as we're going to see. We're going to see it. I'm going to read it to you. You're hopefully going to understand it and know what it says. And that, therefore, from now on, you'll be able to follow along inside. When the rabbi is reading it very quickly, you'll be able to follow along and correct his Aramaic pronunciation. I was sitting at the wedding, of course. So it was my good friend Rabbi Yaakov Blau got married. And his father was Mashgiach Ruchani of Yeshiva University. So I was sitting next to a Rosh Yeshiva who has some kind of PhD in Aramaic languages or something like that. So he sat there correcting the guy reading the ketubah under his breath the whole time. It's pretty funny.
I never understand what they're saying.
Ah, so now you're going to understand. Right. And now there's also what I wanted to address your attention to. Of course, when we talk about ketubah in America, so what do you think of?
Nice, fancy.
Beautiful, fancy artwork, and how lovely it is. And so we're going to see that the ketubah, aside from being an opportunity for artists to make a lot of money, which is very wonderful, is a technical, dry, boring, very, I would say, morose legal document. There is almost no romance in it whatsoever. And I think that if you know what's really in it, you would think twice about hanging it on your wall. Okay? I'm sorry to disappoint you.
No, we did. Ours is in the drawer.
Yeah, mine is in ours. And we'll see where you keep it. We're going to see.
Mine
okay?
Is in one drawer, in one dresser someplace.
Someplace,
yeah,
right.
But I found it when I needed it.
Ours too. Okay. So what I wanted to show you was the sources tell us that the ketubah goes back even to the biblical times. To the times of Abraham Avinu. How do I know? So we learn about Abraham. The Torah says, I'm in page number one. Vayosef Abraham, Vayikach Isha Ushma Keturah. Abraham, again, took a wife whose name was Keturah. Who was Keturah? Anybody know?
Hagar,
right? We talked about that, didn't we? Right? Vatelad lo et Zimran, vet Yaxan, vet Medan, vet Midyan, vet Yishbat, vet Shua. All those years, Abraham couldn't have children. And then he marries, he marries Hagar / Keturah, and all of a sudden she's popping out the children. Fine. The Yaksan Yaladit Shavab at Didan, Ubnei Didan, Hayu Asherim, Ulutushim, Ulumim. A lot of children. Verse 4, Ubnei Midjan, Epha, Ba'efer, Ba'chanoch, Ba'abidah, Ba'elade, Kol Eila, Bnei Keturah. Hagar, this Keturah lady, had a ton of children. But what does Abraham do to them? What does he give to them?
Nothing.
That was the deal. Vayitan Abraham as Kol Asher Lo Li Yitzchak. So Abraham gave all of his possessions, everything that belonged to him, to Yitzchak. Verse 6, Ulu b'nei ha'pi lagshim asher l'Abraham, nasan Abraham matanos. And to the sons of the pilagshim. What are pilagshim? Concubines. He gave matanot, gifts, or as we should call them here, parting gifts. Why are they called parting gifts?
One way.
Because he gave them right before they parted, right, okay? Whenever he sent them away from Yitzchak, when he was still alive, came up and ate him. So let's focus on the word pilagshim, concubines. What's a concubine?
Prostitute.
No.
No. No. No. No.
No. No.
The wife given for the purpose of procreating.
It's like
a
woman.
Okay, there's a lot of answers there that I wasn't really ready for. Yeah. Okay, so what is the difference between a wife, an Isha, and a Pilegesh?
She has no rights.
Is solely to have children, no?
Solely to have children as opposed to what? A wife, which is what?
Well,
to make dinner?
When the wife couldn't have children, the Pilegesh.
Well, the wife and her children inherit.
What?
A Pilegesh is a wife that is not married.
A wife that is not married.
She's not married to him. He has no obligations to her.
That's like a Rashi. Very good. Okay.
What?
She's just a vessel, a common law marriage. Interesting. So Rashi says pilegshim. See Rashi there. So lahaita ella pileges says chaser kshim because it's written pilegshim, chaser, without a vav. Maybe if you look in the text, because he only had one pileges. He hagar, he keturah. What? No, without a yud, I mean. Without a yud. So I have to look at the text. Okay? Nashim, so listen to what it says. Rashi says very clearly. Nashim b'ketuba. Nashim have a ketuba. Upilegshe pilagshim below ketuba. So nashim wives have a ketuba. Concubines have no ketuba. No, not unlawful. Lawful, but no ketuba. We'll see in a second. Okay, look at Ramban and Nachmanides on the left-hand side. Rashi katav nashim b'ketuba, pilagshim below ketuba. Okay, Rashi says nashim with a ketuba and pilagshim without. Kid'amar b'nashim u'pilagshim d'David b'sanhedrin. Right, because as it says, David, King David, had wives and he had concubines. And they were not the same. V'ein hadar bar kein. Right, it's not true. Rather, kilo tikare pilagesh below kiddushin. It's only called a pilegesh elakashahi below kedushin. When you said, what did you say, Dora?
Common law.
You said, I don't remember, you said it or?
I said it.
Okay.
I said it.
Somebody said it, all right. Right, that is a common, what's a common law marriage?
We live together as man and wife.
Let's get together. You want to be my husband? Yeah. You want to be my wife? Yeah. There's no ceremony, says the Ramban. There's no he said sanction from the state or in our context sanction from the Torah. There's no kiddushin.
They get married.
Right.
I think about marriage like when somebody wants to marry somebody in the country. Is that considered?
They get married. That's a legal marriage.
So
here we're talking about what's called a common law marriage. He says the Girsah of Sanhedrin pilegesh below ketuba v'kiddushin. It says in Sanhedrin that pilegesh did not have ketuba or kiddushin. Aval afshar. Okay, but it's possible. Segam b'nei Noach. B'nei Noach means Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Noachites in their times, kasher yusulahem nashim k'mishpatan. When they married wives according to their laws. Maybe ilah with intercourse. How you know again? Lichtov lehem mohar umatan. Their custom was to write for them mohar umatan. How much money? It was a monetary transaction. So according to both Rashi and Ramban disagree about what a pilegesh is. But according to both of them, even from the times of Noahide times, what did they do?
They had contracts.
Okay. They wrote a contract. They wrote a ketubah. Okay, they wrote this contract. So we're gonna have to figure out what is a ketubah. What's in a ketubah? Okay? And why do we have it? Does anybody know what's written in the ketubah? Bottom line.
I have these obligations.
Okay, that's in there, yes?
Monetary payment if there's a divorce.
If there's a divorce or?
Death.
Or I die. Why? Right, that's the bottom line in the ketubah. A ketubah says, if the husband says to the wife, if I die or I divorce you, I will pay you such amount of money. So romantic, isn't it?
You did.
It's so lovely. Right? That's what, you remember you were watching the video, he asked me, do you accept the 200, the one, how much is 200, another 200, do you accept upon yourself? I said, yeah. What do I accept upon myself? To give her 200?
Something.
Well, something. We'll see in a second what the something is. Right, if I die or divorce her. Why? Why would you have to have that?
Because you were obliged to take care of her.
Not if I divorce her.
A woman didn't have rights before the ketubah.
She had rights.
What's her rights?
She gave up being single or whatever.
Right.
To marry you.
Uh-huh.
And you promised her that because she's been married, you're going to take care of her. If you divorce her, she still has some monetary penalty to you, let's say.
Why would you want to establish a monetary penalty?
So divorce wouldn't be so prevalent.
Ah, very good. Right.
Divorce wouldn't be so prevalent.
Right.
It wouldn't be so quick to divorce.
Right. Cause, you know, like they have these quickie divorces.
Say, I divorce you. I understand. Can you go, I divorce you, three times, and you divorce.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Hmm.
That's the prevalent custom today?
That's how they get around the poor wife.
Oh, really?
Divorce. They say, goodbye, I'll take another.
All right. But I would have to have an Arabist here to know what the Arabs do. So... in order to really understand this, it's so interesting. Let's look on first page two. Skip to page two, please. Itmar. So you should just know. I went on a website. I didn't want to do it here because it's not conducive to it. But there's a website in Israel that has a compendium of ketubot. From the past, I would say 300 years, from all different places, any country you could think of, they have ketubot scanned in that you can look at the ketubah to see the text and to see how it was written and the different versions that they had. You know, they have America from the 1820s, and they have Azerbaijan and, you know, Poland. Any country you can think of, you could see a ketubah on the internet from that period of time. And it's quite fascinating. There's virtually no artwork. I mean, there's like a little bit of artwork around the sides, but it's more just interesting to try to see and figure out what they wrote into the different ketubot and what the different versions were. Okay?
What is the website?
It's on the .dot website. You send me an email, Aviva, I'll send you back the link. Itmar, said this is a Gemara on page 2. So I'll read the Gemara. Okay? Amar Shmuel, Amar Rabbi Nachman, Amar Shmuel. This is from Kesuvos .dot Yud, page 10. Mishum Rabbi Shimon Belezer. Chachamim tiknu lehem debenos Yisrael. So the rabbis established for Jewish women, lebeshula masayim, ulaonana mana. Right? They established that a besula, a virgin, would get 200, I think it's zuz, right, if she got divorced. And an almana and a divorcee would get 100. Behein heminu, shimama pesach pasulach masasi, neman. Okay, so, and let's say the husband married her, and then he found out, later on he comes along and he says, after the first night, he says, "Hey, she wasn't basula. She wasn't unmarried before, so I got ripped off." So then they said he's reliable to say that. Why? Imkei maha ulu chachamim betakanasa. So what good is the takana that she should get 200 if she's a basula, if he can always claim that she wasn't? The Gemara says, "Amarava." The Rava says, "Chazaka ein adam tarech besuda umafsida." Because we have a principle: guy's not going to go and make a meal. You're not going to cook a meal and then throw it in the garbage. Meaning what? If he's not going to go lie about her and decide that he didn't want to marry her and then try to get off without, you know, not paying 100 out of the 200. So he's not going to lose the money. Okay. So Gemara says, Tana, we learned. Ho'el knas chachamim hu. So the question is now, so the woman, what is the reason why the woman made the ksuva? Okay. What is the reason why the rabbis made the ksuva? In order so that, Rashi says, in order to prevent people from just divorcing their wives just like that. Now, remember, it's not a lot of money today, but you have to remember how much, you know, the 200 was about, they said, the amount of money it would take to support her for a year. So how much would it, I mean, in today's dollars, how much would it cost to support somebody for a year?
Talking West Bloomfield or
to be honest with you, there's a minimum. But it would probably be whatever your standard would be.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Depending on the standard.
There's a minimum from the Torah.
The
minimum from the Torah was 200, but you could have 200 you know, where's the kesef tzaruf, 200 silver zuz or shekel or whatever you're gonna call it. Okay? But how much nowadays would that be?
It'd be 50,000-60,000 minimum.
50,000-60,000. So if you were going to divorce your wife and it was going to cost you 50, 60 grand, you got really mad at her and said, "That's it. This is over. Here you go. Hold on, honey. It cost you 50, 60 grand." So the question is, what can you pay her? Can you pay her with a check? Can you pay her just with anything? Can you give her cash?
Cash on the line.
Cash on the line? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, so that was a real question, by the way, because what would she want?
Silver.
No, what would she want? What would she want?
Not to get divorced?
No, no. If you divorce her.
Camels.
No, she would not want camels. Why? Right. Well, what she want?
Diamonds.
The house. She wants land.
Oh, there's a woman.
There you go. You're absolutely right. She wants land. Why? Because land is worth something. Right. Land is worth something. She can rent it out. It's hers. And, you know. And now, what if she could choose whatever she wants? Then she's going to take the best thing. So this is what the Gemara talks about. Tana, we learn. Ho'olu knas chachamim hu. Since it's a knas, a fine against the husband, lo tigbe elamin hazibulis. That she should only be paid from the worst land. So he has some slacky field out in, you know, in the pasture somewhere. Oh, honey, you get the field. I love you, dear. Goodbye. No. The Gemara says, knasa mai. My knasa, why is that? Who says it's a fine? Ela ema. So we'll say, ho v'takanas chachamim hu. Since it's a decree of the rabbis, lo tigbe elamin hazibulis. So then she should, it's a decree of the rabbis, so she should pay from the cheapest land. He has to pay her from the cheapest land. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, ksubas isha min ha-Torah. For a woman to have a ksuba, for a woman to be required to have a ksuba, is from the Torah. It's a deoraisa, it's a din deoraisa. So then the Gemara asks, umi ara Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel hachi, didn't we learn, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel say this? Because it says, Vahatanya, Keshev Yiskol, he should pay. Mani kemor habesulos. Shehezeh kemor habesulos, mor habesulos kezeh. Mikan, so that this amount should be mor habesulos, right? Should be the amount of money that is given if a besula is, if a woman who's a virgin is put into question. So that's how much the ksuba is. Mikan, shomchu chachamim l'ksubas isha min ha-Torah. From this, the rabbis learned that a ksuba woman is from the Torah. And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Omer, ksuba isha eina midibei Torah, ela midibei shofar. So the Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, according to this version, that it's not from the Torah, it's rabbinically oriented. So the Gemara answers, epach, so you got it mixed up, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel really held that it's min ha-Torah, but we see from this, and the Gemara goes on and says that according to the final version of the text, the ketuba, the amount of the ketuba for a betula, for a virgin is from the Torah, and the amount for an almana, for a widow, is midrabanan. But nonetheless, we see that the Torah demands that a woman have a ketubah. So the question is, why? What's the purpose of the Torah demanding she have a ketubah? What does she need to have the ketubah for? So the answer is protection. Okay? So now, we to understand this, we look at the next Gemara. The Gemara on the bottom of Ksubah, the bottom of page 2, Ksubah 83b. Okay, so what would happen? So there was a period of time, there was a progression. So they always had, and we see that they always had this deal, this understanding that there was such a thing as a wife and they have obligations to her. Says the Gemara, okay, Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda says, Barishona hayu kosvin lebesula masayim la'amana amana. In the beginning, they wrote in their ksubas that a besula, a virgin, would get 200 and an amana would get 100. V'hayu mezaknin v'lo hayu nosim nashim. And the women would get old, they didn't want to get married. Why? So Rashi explains. They would write the amount. But they said, yeah, I'll pay you. I owe you money. Okay, so now it's very interesting. What happens if, this is a good monetary question. Eddie Katz owes me $1,000, right? And he owes me $1,000, so Eddie's going to pay me. He says, yeah, Rabbi, I'll pay you. Okay? And then, lo aleinu, 120 comes along, and he's gone. What happens to my $1,000?
Gone?
No.
His wife's family.
What's that?
His family is obligated.
I can sue his estate. Who gets first?
Who gets first from his estate?
Yes.
His widow.
His widow. Well, not his widow necessarily. Sure. His children. Right. Other debtors. Go collect your $1,000. Now, unless I can prove that I have a lien against his property. If I have a prior lien against his property, then I get paid first. Which is why, when you buy a house and you borrow $120,000 from the bank, what do they say?
They're the first lien holders.
They are the first lien holders, because if other creditors, you declare bankruptcy, the bank comes in and says, we came first. We get our money first. Okay, so what happened was, the husband would write to the wife and say, yeah, I'll pay you. Okay, now, anybody ever see there was a, It was like a Jane Austen novel that got written into a movie. That made it into a movie. Maybe it was about these three daughters, this woman and her three daughters, right? And the husband married, and the father married some other woman. You know what I'm talking about? Sense of Sensibility, right? And so, what was the relationship between this woman, meaning the new family? They could not wait to get rid of him, right? Because why? Because she's just a burden on the estate. They have to support them. They have to take care of them. And the only thing they could do is marry off their daughter. So you should imagine if a man marries a second wife. Let's say the mother dies, and a man marries a second wife. So what does his son think? How does Yitzchak feel about the new children, about the new wife, about Keturah? She's a threat. She's a threat to land ownership. She's a threat to the property. And so when the father dies, what is the son, not Yitzchak Avinu, but what is the son going to do to the new wife?
Kick her out.
Honey, goodbye. Right? Who needs her? Right? You're just an intrusion. My father, you know, really wasn't interested in you. I mean, we see it, unfortunately, we see it nowadays also. You see in the news, like this idea of the trophy wife, and, you know, these women have good lawyers nowadays. But it's nothing new. It's absolutely nothing new. So therefore, in order to guarantee for their safety, they would get a ketubah. So what happens though? So, you know, son comes along, and the father dies, and the woman comes along and says, your father owed me, you know, $60,000. What would the son say? Okay.
That's nice.
Get in line. Right? I'll let you know when the check is ready. Don't call me, we'll call you. So what happens? So the Gemara says, v'ayu mazkinim, v'lo hayu nosin nashim. The women said, I forget, I'm not getting married. I'd rather stay in my father's house and never get married. I'm supposed to get married to some old guy. Think further on the roof. The young girl marrying the butcher. What? You think it's oi. But it was, that's what it was. You got married off to whoever married you off. Right? Think that. She said, forget it. I'd rather not be married. I'm not interested. Ad Shebas Shimon ben Shetach. Until Shimon ben Shetach came along, V'tiken kol mechasav achlai neksubasa. And he instituted, he originated that all of the property of the husband are achrayin, are obligated to ksuba. So he wrote, he changed the language and said, all property are obligated for the ksuba. The Gemara continues, I'm at the two dots on the bottom. Tanya nami achi, I'm about five lines in. So we also learned another braita, similar. Barishona hayu kosim the besula mashayim la'amana mana. In the beginning they would just write, I owe you this amount. Vahayu mashkinim, what?
Page two.
I'm on page two at the bottom. Vahayu mashkinim, and the women would get old. The lower you know, seem less him, and nobody would. And the women didn't want to get married. Hitkinusu menichim osa bebeis avia. So then they said, okay, you know what? We'll take the money, and we'll put it in your father's house, the girl's father's house. So what would happen? Va'adayin kishahu koleisaver omer la l'chiyetu ksuba sech. Remember, the ksuba was supposed to be a deterrent. So if he took that bundle of money and he put it in her father's house. So the first time she burnt dinner, what would he say? I already paid you the ksuba, go home. So that's not a real deterrent for divorce, not a good idea. Meaning it's only a good deterrent if he's got to now find the money. You know, people don't usually have good chunks of money lying around, but if it's sitting in a bank account, here's the money, here's the ATM card to the bank account, I don't want to see you ever again. You don't want to have that. Okay, so what happened? So then they made a takana. They said, no, maybe I'll put it in her mother-in-law's house. In her father-in-law's house. So Ashiros Osos Osa Kalasos Shal Kesef Shal Zahav. And then the rich people would make them into silver and gold baskets. And then the poor people would make them into these, I would call them chamber pots. That's what her ksuba was in. Lovely, isn't it? Okay. Right, so, you know, that's how much it was worth. They would make it into some kind of porcelain toilet, you know what I'm saying? Not so lovely, but I guess you could sell the porcelain and be worth something. And when he would get married, he would say, go to my father's house, get your basket, and get out. So again, it wasn't an effective deterrent. Shimon ben Shetach. So Shimon ben Shetach was at Tana, and he was he was the head of the Gullus at one point. If he wanted to say to her, I'm divorcing you, she would say, okay, but I want the house. Or whatever the equivalent in the house is. So you're divorcing me? That's fine. Where are you going to live? And he would say, no, 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 you don't. Let's think about this. Let's talk about this, honey. Okay? We don't want to have to. We don't want to happen so fast. What? When she has the house, then they're on a first name basis. Then they're a good relationship. Okay, so let's look at. We'll just skip forward to the Rambam. Okay, well, Rambam. We learned the beginning of chapter 10 on page 3. We learned the beginning of chapter 10 last week, and now we're at the end of chapter 10. Okay, remember we learned about the chuppah. We already did the chuppah. We learned the 7 different possibilities of the chuppah, but the chuppah really represents bringing the wife into the husband's home. The Rambam continues, "V'charich lichtov ketuba kodem kenisha l'chuppa," and he must write her a ketuba before he brings her into the chuppah. "V'achar kach yihyeh mutar hi'ishto," and after this, then he would be permissible to his wife. Meaning, without it, no ketuba, no wedding, no marriage. The Rambam says explicitly, "V'hachasein noshein tzchar hasofer," and the chasen has to pay for the scribe to write. Nowadays, by the way, what do we get it off of? Nowadays? You can print it out of the internet, right, as you're going to see, which I did nowadays. Back when it wasn't so easy. Somebody had to pay a scribe to write the ksuba. So who pays? The chasen pays. Good. Yeah. They would call it flop. Flowers, liquor, orchestra?
And
pictures and ksuba. Okay, yeah.
But this is completely the opposite of a divorce.
What do you mean?
You can't take that off the internet.
A divorce, you cannot take off the internet. The Rabbanon made other takanos in order to make divorce harder. They did not want, meaning a medio raisa, if you write a ketubah for your wife and you write in the proper way, right, you could divorce her. It's practically impossible to do. There's no way to get divorced without rabbis. So you can get married. If you really wanted to get married, you could tell your wife, here's this ring, you want to marry me, Hare Mikudeshli, come into my house, have 2 witnesses, and, you know, pretty much it would be a wedding, and, you know, you'd be married, and there's nothing we could do about it. But if you wanted to divorce your wife, which I hope you don't, okay, you could not do it without the rabbis. You have to get a sofer, and it has to be written names in the right way, exactly the right thing, with the based in. And there's a reason for that. Why?
Give you time to think about it.
Yeah, big time.
It's really worth the headache.
Right. But great. I mean, that's a good therapy, right? Is it really worth the headache to get rid of divorce? No, forget it. Or whatever. I don't know if that's really the reason, but there were definitely still delay tactics involved. Okay. The Kamahu Kol says, how much does he have to write? Im Haisha Basulev, she is a virgin. Ein Kosin Lapachos Mi Masayim Dinarim. 200 dinarim. Silver dinars. 200 silver dinars. That's that minimum that was in the Torah. The imba'ula, and if she's already been married, in kos in the fachos mi mea dinarim. She doesn't get less than 100. Vizehu anikar, ikar haksuba. And that's the ikar, the bottom line name. The imrasa lahosifla, afilu kikar, zahab. And if you wanted to add to her even a kikar zahab, which is like a talent of gold, which was an enormous sum of money, mosif, right? If you wanted to add even a brick of gold. So meaning, by the way, this was a big deal. So nowadays, when you want to write the ketubah, so you people call me up and say, okay, Rabbi, get us a ketubah and we'll fill it out and we'll sign it. Well, no way is that way. Remember, you know, you want to marry into the Reichman family, okay? What do you bring into the table? What are our guarantees that our daughter will be taken care of by you? So they would write in, I mean, in many communities, they would negotiate. How much are you adding? How much is it worth? And they would write this into the ketubah. In Sephardic communities, remember there's a deal in Ashkenazic communities. Let's say a husband wants to marry a second wife. Can he do that? No, why not? Takana, Rabbeinu Gershon, right? There's something called the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershon. Rabbeinu Gershon said, no second wives. No third wives, only one wife per man. Thank God. Okay? So now, let's say I'm Sephardic. Rabbeinu Gershon was an Ashkenazi. He doesn't apply to me. So a Sephardic woman could say, and I want you to write in the ketubah that you won't marry another man. Another woman, excuse me. Yeah, that's true.
Another one.
That's a whole other story.
Yeah. And they would write it in. I mean, if you were willing to accept that part of the deal. And if you violated it, it's a violation of the ketubah. It would be grounds for divorce, and she could claim her money. But it was part of the written agreement. So they wrote all kinds of things. I was once at a wedding, an Israeli wedding, where I was listening to the ketubah, nobody else was listening, and they write in all kinds of nice things, and he will give her furniture, and and this and that, all kinds of, just they add on a lot of flowery things. And the problem becomes, there are, I mean, I saw a newspaper report recently about it, when, you know, they write it in, but they don't really mean it. You know, because it's customary in the Sephardic communities to write in, and he'll give her this, and he'll give her that. And so there was once a divorce where
she
said, hey, did you read the document you signed? Right, well, he didn't really sign. We'll get to that also. Did you read the document? And the court enforced it. It is, in effect, a prenuptial agreement. What is a prenuptial agreement in American law?
It's a contract.
Right. It is a halachic prenuptial agreement, not in the civic court, but in Jewish court, enforceable in Jewish court. This is a monetary contract, no different. I mean, not substantially different than a contract that says, Rabbi Spalter and Dennis Yashinsky are going to business together, and we agree if the business is dissolved that we will equitably distribute the property, and Rabbi will pay this amount for Dennis's time, et cetera, et cetera. Real romantic, right? You're gonna hang that contract of incorporation on the wall of the company for everyone to see with beautiful pictures surrounding it? No, you're not. What? Right, no, you're not.
Now I don't feel so guilty for throwing it in the
drawer. No, you shouldn't feel guilty at all. That's where it belongs. Okay? V'din ha-tosefet, right? So for most things, this main part and the additional part are the same. The fikach, kol makom shenamar bo ketubah stam. Anytime it says the word ketubah, hu ha'ikar bo tosefes keches. I mean, it says you write a ketubah, it means this amount, the principal plus the interest, the main part plus the additional part. The chachamim, hen shetiknu ketubah le'isha. Why? The rabbanon establishes ketubah, kedei shelo tia kala ve'einav lahotia, so that a husband could not divorce his wife easily. Chet. Dinarim elu lo tiknu otam min hakesef ha-tahor. So it did not have to be from pure silver. Ela min mepeah shahayu ba'ota hayami. That from the coin of their time, shahaya shiva chalokim nechoshes ve'echad kesef. Right? Seven nechoshes and one kesef. So somebody wants to know, how much money is it today? How much is 200 silver dinar today? Anybody ever ask that?
Allowing for inflation.
Allowing, right. No. How much is silver worth today? Anybody know?
$12
$13 an ounce. It hit a high recently. Okay, so I saw there. It's actually a matter of great debate. So according to some opinions, okay, it turns out that it's, one second. So 200 zuz in the ketubah, okay, are 120 pure grams of silver.
What?
120 grams is how much?
120
grams. So it's 1/10.
20 average per ounce.
Really?
Yeah.
So only 5 ounces of silver. That's pretty weak. According to another opinion, it's 960 grams. So let's say about 2 pounds of silver. How much is 2 pounds of silver? 32. It's not a lot of money. But think about what were their expenses for living back then. Like what did you need to live? Pretty much, right? You know, that, I mean, you were not the living standards of those times were much lower than they are today. So if you think about how much is, you know, men did not have that money lying around. How many people had $1,000? How many people today in the Middle East have $1,000 lying around? Not in first world countries, not in industrialized countries. So you want to divorce your wife? That's the minimum. You want to divorce your wife? Okay, where are you going to get the money from? Because you can't do it until you scrape together the money. So you better really want it. You better really mean it. You better really think that you have no way of making this work. And that was the minimum that the rabbis demanded that you pay to her. You know, and in a way, it's like, does a wedding really have to be all about money? What's the answer to that question?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Money talks. Right? There's no better way to ensure for her protection than to make it economically viable, because money is work, is effort, is energy. And without that, you know, he could do whatever he wants. Yeah.
Let's look at the woman's side, though. Huh? What happens if he is a brute and he hits anything, and how can she get out of it? You know.
If he is... If he's really an abuser, then she can sue the Beit Din to coerce him to give a get. Right, with a ketubah, he's forced to pay. If it's really egregious. But, you know, you're talking about different times also. But if it really was egregious, and he was not appropriate for her, the Beit Din could enforce it. We talked about that. But the Beit Din had the right to enforce and force him to give her a divorce. Okay, let's skip to Yud. Skip to number Yud. Hakonish et ha'isha v'lo katav ketubah. If you marry a woman and do not write a ketubah, osha katav v'avad shtar ketubah. Or let's say you wrote the ketubah but you lost it. Osha machla ketubah lebala. Okay? Or let's say, what did she do? She said, nah, I trust you. Osha machra lo ketubah, or she sold it back to him. If you pay me now, then you don't have to pay me later. Chozer v'kosev la ikar ksuba imratza l'kaima. If he wants to stay married to her, he must rewrite the ikar ketubah. Lefisha, this is the key words. Asher lo la'adam lishos ishto afilu sha'a achas v'lo ksuba. A person may not be with his wife even for one moment without a ketubah. So I've had cases where I had a case once where a husband called me up and he said, we can't find a ketubah.
What?
We can't find a ketubah. What do we do? I said, did you look high and low? And, you know, look again. And they called and it's gone. With the place where they thought it was, where they knew that it was, it's gone. So we had to, it's interesting, we had to come before, it was Erev Shabbos, come before Shabbos and fill out another ketubah. It's called a ketubah irchusa, a ketubah that was lost. And we wrote him a replacement ketubah, and the witnesses signed on it, and he accepted responsibility for his husbandly obligations. And then Shabbos came. It was late. It was Tor Mincha. You know, and that happens all the time. People who don't know.
At least the summer events.
It didn't matter. It was whenever it was.
I wonder what
yeah.
made them go looking for it.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It's a good reason for hanging on the wall.
It's a good reason to hang it on the wall.
Yeah. It's a good reason to hang it on the wall.
Leave it in a safe deposit box, and that's where it is. Although, who is, according to some posting, who is supposed to hold on to the ketubah?
Right.
She's supposed to know where it is and have access to it at all times, right? Because it's hers. It's not his. It's hers. Okay? So what is in the ketubah? So if you turn to the next page, and you can actually, if you want to pull the pages apart, you can follow along, okay, along with me, because I think it's important just to know what it is that all of you have, you know, have signed. Now, by the way, first of all, one should notice, what obligations did the wife take for the ketubah?
Nothing.
None. None. It's all obligations the husband takes upon himself. Notice, when I picked up the hanky, okay, so I picked it up, and I made a kinyan. I'm the Kaaba kinyan. Where do I sign on the ketubah?
You don't.
I don't. Why? Because that's not how Jewish contracts work. In Jewish contracts, my obligation comes not with my signature, but when I'm mekabel kinyan. When you're mekabel kinyan, to take responsibility. When you do the physical act, I take responsibility. And I'm mekabel kinyan, I'm taking responsibility in front of witnesses, and the witnesses sign that I accepted the responsibility written in that ketubah. So there's no signatures of the parties involved. Rather, there's something even more ironclad, a physical manifestation that a person took responsibility, and that's called a kinyan. Okay? So look on page, the English is on page 3, okay? And the Hebrew is on page 4. Okay? And I'll read for you in Hebrew, okay? And to follow with me. So I divide it into sections. You see there are 7 real sections in the ketubah. It's on page 4. It's important, important just to read through it and know what it says in the ketubah. So it says, blank b'Shabbos. That's the day of the week. Okay? So on the, let's say, it would be, let's say if it was a Sunday wedding, so we would write, b'echad b'Shabbos. Okay? The first day of Shabbos, and then the next thing is the blank day of the month. So let's say, what's today? Of Tishrei. Shvi'i, okay, right. Yom, it says, Shiva Yamim, L'chodesh Kislev. Seventh day of Chodesh Tish. Shnas Chameshas Alafi Mishra Meon, 5,700 and, what are we in now? Rishishim V'sheva. Right? Yishishim v'sheva. Okay? L'minyan sha'an monotan. In the since the creation of the world, according to the reckoning which we are accustomed to employ here, Khan in this city, what would be right? Oak Park, Michigan. And some people, then you get into like some 90 details, you have to write Oak Park, Michigan. Some people write Oak Park, Michigan in North America, because what if there was another place called Oak Park, Michigan somewhere else? I couldn't write Oak Park. Why? There's 200 Oak Parks. Right, there's a zillion Oak Parks. Okay, so now we've established and serious in number one, time and place. Okay, it's a contract. So in every contract you have to write time and place. Number two, Ech Shachasan, the groom, and then we're writing his name. Right? Joe Blow, Ben Joe Blow, his father. Okay? The Mishpachas, the family of Stein. Okay.
Joe Blow.
Right? Amar Lahada Basulta. He said to the girl, to the Basulta, that's what we're assuming she's unmarried, to this young girl. Okay, her name is Prince Alfredo, Basta, whatever her father's name is, Basmo, the Mishpachas Greenberg. I'm in the end of the third line in section number two. How will I lay into? He said to this girl, how will I lay into Kadash Moshe of Israel? Be my wife like the laws of Moses and Israel. The Ana and I will, Aflach, okay, and I will cherish, Okir, honor, Azon, feed, Azon from Mazon, the Afarnes, what is Afarnes?
Parnas
for support, Yitichi, Lichi, you, Kehilchos, Guvrin, Yehudayim. As is the laws of all Jewish men, Gepauchin, who cherish, right, honestly cherish, Umukrin, Vizanin, and honor, and support, Umafanasin, Nisayin, Bekusta, right, and maintain their wives with honesty. So by the way, I mean, I think a lot of chasanim should be told that when they sign their ksuba, they're obligating themselves to support their wives, and not vice versa, right? But I think somebody must have forgotten to tell them that.
Yeah.
What? Support. It doesn't say, and I will sit and learn while you go out and work and support me. It says, I will, and this is something that always boggles my mind. Yeah, you're reading the English. The English is on page 3. And I will, I'm following on English, okay? I will cherish, honor, support, and maintain you in accordance with the custom of Jewish households who honestly cherish, honor, support, and maintain their wives. Right? Kehilchos guvrin Yehudayim. The ways of Jewish men. I'm not sure when that ended. But
today they could say the ways are to learn.
Okay, section number 3. Okay, so the first section number 2 was obligations of the husband to the wife. And those include, right, cherish, honor, support, maintain, afanis, feed, clothe, house. Right, those are responsibilities that a husband has towards his wife. Now, v'yahivna lichi mohar bitu lichi, and I will set aside for you the portion of your bitu laichi of that comes to you. Okay? Kesef zuze masan. Masan is 200. Silver zuz. See what it says that? See where I am on page? Are you following English? Okay. 200 silver zuz. Dechazi lichi mide'oraisa. That is coming to you from the Torah. Umizo naichi. And your food. Vekisu saichi. And your clothing. Visipu kaichi. And your necessities, umeyal lusaychi ka'ora kol ara, right? And undertake to live with you as husband and wife according to the universal custom. So section number 3 says, what are my obligations? First of all, I owe you 200 zuz, plus I promise to support and clothe and feed you. Okay, now, that's the bottom line, basic principles. Then, utzviyas, and now what does she bring into the deal? Okay, so now the rule was that women who brought in property into their marriages, she has the right to delineate what the property she brings in. So if there was ever a divorce,
it's hers.
She would get to keep it. Okay?
You do that in civil law, too. Things that you bring into the marriage are yours before the marriage, so you can take them out of the marriage.
Right. Right. Utsviyash Maras, and this girl, Basulta Da'ar Basula, Bahavashay Le'intu, and she became his wife. Now, the day Nidunya dahan Allah say mi bay abua Nidunya. What's a Nidunya? Ever heard of Nidunya? What's a Nidunya?
Her belongings.
No. Okay. And where are we? Okay. And her belongings. But what do we call that? What do we call the belongings that the girl brings in from the into the marriage?
Dowry.
Dowry, right. Her dowry, okay, that she brings in from her bidei avua, from her father's house. Bein b'kesef, bein b'dahar, whether it's silver or gold, bein b'tachshitin, whether it's furnishings. The money de levusa, could be things that she wears. Money dira, mishumersha dira, right? Wearing apparel, house furnishings, and bedclothes. Hakol kibir alav, all of this accepted upon himself, jo shmo chasan dinan. Right, our Joe Shmo, but Meir Zekukin Kesef Tzarev. Okay, he added the sum of 100 silver pieces. So we don't delineate. You can imagine, by the way, that in times of old, when they really brought in a lot of valuables, they would start listing. And she brought in 2 comforters and 3 pots and a dishwasher and a toaster oven, whatever. All of these things she would bring into the marriage. That if it was ever dissolved, they would write this into the ksuba. Can you imagine, like on your wall, a Toastmaster, right? 2 Leichters, right? A sewing machine.
A bread machine,
right, Okay? So nowadays, we just lump it together, 100 silver, 100 silver pieces. Okay? I'm in section number 5 now in the Hebrew. Utsvi, Joblo Chasan Dinan, right? And Chasan Dinan, and the bridegroom adds from his own property, another 100 silver pieces, Kenegdan, according to them, Sachakol, Masayim Zukukim Kesef Tzar. So I said there's 200 for the ksuba and 200 for the dowry. So if she gets divorced, how much does she get total? 400. 200 that she brought in herself, and, 100 she brought in, 100 that we give to her. This is seeming very romantic now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Like we're now in love. We just love talking about this. It's so beautiful, okay? Now we're on source number 6. The Kach Almar, and so said Job Lo Chasan Dinan. He said, Achrayus Star Ktub Tada. The junior dame, the Achrayus, what's Achrayut?
Responsibility,
obligations of this Ketubah. Vitosef Tada, and this obligation, Kabbalas Alai, I accept it upon me, V'al Yartai Batrai, and my inheritors after me. This is the key point that Shem Mesetach added. Right, me and my debtors after me. The tara mikol svar arag nichsin, the kinyonim, the easily tachas kol shemaya, to be paid for the best part of my property and possession that I have beneath the whole heaven. The kanoi that I have now, ude asir ani lemikna, or that I will acquire in the future. Nachasin the isla hanachrayos, whether it is landed property, okay, ude leslahon achrayos. Or if they don't, or it's not landed property. Here we are. How does it say? All my property, real and personal. Kulun yon achrayin, arevayin lifuramin hon. All of that property, even this digital voice recorder, will be achrayin, obligated to pay. Star ketub deda, this ketuba, the junior day, but tosef deda. The dowry and the additional money, minai, this is my favorite line, for me, vafilu min glima de al kafai. Even the shirt off my back. So if all I have is my shirt on my back, right? If all you got a shirt on your back and your wife says, pay me, you know what the basin would say? Get undressed. Okay, because that's what he wrote in the Ksuba. So to understand, by the way, this was Shimon ben Shetach's addition, that it's not enough that you say, I'll pay you. She wants to know how you're going to pay me. And that was important. B'chayai, in my life, ubasa chayai. But after my life, min yom adinanu lolam, from now on and forever, v'achray yistav ksub dada, and the dunya dem v'tal shef dada, and the responsibility for this ksuba, the dowry and the additional money, kiva alav job lo chasan dinan, job lo achasam accepted, kechom ha'kol star et ksubo spitol sefas, like all the responsibilities of ksuba and sefas, dinahigin v'minos yisrael, right, that the Jewish women do, ha'asirin ketakina chachamim zichonu lebracha. That the rabbis do, Zichron HaRacha, Delo ka'asmachta, not being coerced, Udelo kesovse dishtare, not being coerced, and nor indecisive contractual obligations or stereotyped forms. That's the end of section 6. Section 6 is, how is she going to be paid? Section 7 is, the word, see there's a blank, that word is vikanina. And then the rabbi writes in the word vikanina. And when does the rabbi write in the word, and the acquisition took place? When did you say the acquisition took place?
After
the acquisition took place. When the kinyon happens, then the rabbi writes in the kanina. And I saw this kinyon take place, this acquisition. Me and Joe blow the mishpachas green. Chasan Dinano, Maras, you know, the girl springs to Chayel, the Mishpacha Stein, Alkom Ha'adachashim, the first Le'el, Ben Minyanim, the Kashim, the Mignaya Bay, with a vessel that's good for Kinyan, Hakol Shuri B'Kayim, and then Ne'um, somebody signs witness, aid, Ne'um, somebody signs aid. Isn't it lovely? Isn't it touching? Isn't it romantic? How much? 200 for the Nitzuba, 100. She doesn't have to see it. If she's given it, she has given it after that, after Unbechopa, it's given to her.
Yeah.
So she can read it if she wants.
But doesn't she want to read it before?
Well, no, the Chazal instituted the rabbis made sure that this ketubah had to be written in such a way. So they would not allow her to get married unless the ketubah was written in the appropriate way.
So they're protected.
Right. So now, by the way, I just wanted to share with you the last page that you have is the RCA. So it comes as a pack. And it comes the Hebrew on one side and English on the other side. So now I just translated for you the Hebrew for real. Now look at what they write in English. On the blank day of the week, the blank day of the month, and the year, blank, blank, corresponding to the blank day of something, you know, the English date, 1990, whatever.
Yeah.
Right, they should fix that. The covenant of marriage was entered into at the place between the bridegroom, you know, Joe Blow, and the bride, Hannah Sprinter. That is great. The bridegroom made the following declaration to his bride. Be my wife according to the law of Moses in Israel. I faithfully promise that I will be a true husband to you. I will honor and cherish you. I will protect and support you and provide all that is necessary for your sustenance in accordance with the usual custom of Jewish husbands. I take upon myself all such further obligations for your maintenance as are prescribed by our religious statutes. That sounds so lovely, isn't it? Does that have anything to do with the ketubah?
No.
I mean, the ketubah includes that information, right, in a couple of words. And the bride has entered into this holy covenant with affection and sincerity. And has thus entered upon herself the fulfillment of all the duties incumbent upon the Jewish wife. So what do the couple think? They think that they're getting the English translation of the Hebrew. So why do they frame it? Because it's this testament to the love that he's expressed and the commitment he has made to her. Baloney. Right? And isn't it lovely? Bridegroom and bride and rabbi sign. Right? Why? Why not? It doesn't mean anything. Right? But what is it? What? So, if the rabbis use the English, which I have always ignored, so signs it. You understand what I'm saying? So what do? We have the Hebrew ketubah, which is the real ketubah on the left, technical, dry, legal document that it is. And then we fluff it up a little bit so that the people who don't know the Hebrew, oh, Rabbi, they're so lovely, thank you so much. But it has nothing really to do with the English. So what? Bottom line is, what is a ketubah? A ketubah is a technical, dry, boring, important, critically important legal contract designed by the Rabbanon in order to guarantee the safety and financial viability and also to ensure that the husband doesn't divorce her willy-nilly, just as such. And it's something that without which, if a couple does not have it, they are not permitted to remain married. They must make sure they have it at all times. I'll share with you just my a final thought. The thing that troubles me today is the ketubah is never paid. Why is it not paid? No, maybe take it seriously. You could take it to court. It's enforceable in a court. Why is it never paid? Because in America, with equitable distribution, most people, the vast majority of people, go through a civil divorce proceedings for in order to divide up their property. And the woman usually comes off far better than she would with a ketubah. Ketubah was minimal. So even though we fulfill the ketubah, we fill it out in order to fulfill the obligations of Chazal, nonetheless, the ketubah doesn't come close to what American law, or even modern secular Israeli law, demands that the wife receives under normal circumstances. Now, if Osman was a, you know, he made her sign some ridiculous prenuptial agreement, she gets nothing, then at least she would have a ketubah. But nowadays, the ketubah is, I've never ever heard of a case where they said, okay, what's in the ketubah? Let's pay it off. You know.
Does it have to be read out loud?
No, you know why? Oh, so why do we read the ketubah out loud? What?
More
tradition. No. Remember, we learned. Actually, yeah. Remember, we learned that there were two parts of the wedding. There was kiddushin and nisuin. Kedushin was when he gave her the ring, and Nisuin is really when he brings her under the chuppah and she becomes his wife. There are brachos, separate brachos for each one. What's the first bracha of the Kedushin? Hooray, Priyagafen. What's the first bracha of Nisuin? What's the first of the Shabbat brachos? How can you make a bread for your guffin? You just made a bread for your guffin. How can you make it? You just made a bread. How can you make another one? So what do you have to do in order to make be able to make another bread for your guffin? You have to stall.
Stall.
What's a good way to stall? Read the ketubah. Do you have to read the ketubah under the chuppah? Do you have to read the ketubah under the chuppah?
Yes, not.
Absolutely not. Have a good week.